This morning, we're going to take a bit of a break from our series in Matthew. We're going to talk a little bit about something to do with Father's Day, but don't worry if you're not a father, because we're going to talk to everybody today. But I guess it's a bit of a Father's Day kind of thread or a theme in a little bit of this. I guess depending upon your situation, Father's Day could be a joyful, a frustrating, a sad, a mournful, thankful day, or it could be a mixture of all of the above, or it could mean just nothing at all. It's just another day that you hope would just kind of come and go like any other day. And because of that, as a preacher, just carrying on as normal doesn't feel kind of quite right, but then deciding what to preach on can be a little bit of a perilous task. As I've said before, there's a tendency to talk a lot about love for mums on Mother's Day, and then give dads a bit of a kicking for a poor performance on Father's Day. And I don't really want to do that today. I think I probably have done that before, but I don't want to do that today. Instead, I want to encourage everybody, but perhaps particularly the dads in the room, to start to dream and to expect the movement of the Holy Spirit, okay? And we're going to think about what that means. To be hopeful and expectant for your children, for what it is that you want them to see and experience in and with God. And I want that for dads, but at the same time, I want those who are not dads to see that this isn't just reserved for them, but this is for everybody, okay? Joel is where we're going to start. Jack asked me before, what are you reading from? And I said, oh, a little bit here and a little bit there. So there's not going to be any words come up on the screen. And so if you've got a Bible on your phone or the actual book of the Bible, then you can open that. We're in the Old Testament to start off with. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28 to 32 is where we're going to start. So Joel chapter 2 verse 28. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth. And everyone who calls, verse 32, and everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. From Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, even among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Some of those verses have an echo, which might be a more familiar to some of us perhaps reading of those, because in Acts chapter 2, so Old Testament and now into the New, Acts chapter 2 verse 17, which is Pentecost, in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Okay, so I'm going to explain a bit more about this in a minute in terms of what this is really about. But dads, don't miss this. Your sons, your daughters, they will prophesy, which is to bring a message from God, okay? Now, if you want to come and talk to me about prophecy and what it does and doesn't mean, then come and talk to me afterwards. There are some people that believe that this is finished, that the Bible is written and complete, and so therefore the prophecy is finished. But yet this is in the Word of God, and God is telling us that in the last days, which I believe are now, but we'll come to that, or some believe they're still to come, people are going to prophesy. So therefore, that gift of the Spirit cannot have finished or God is a liar, okay? And so your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy, not because I say so, but because God says so. So dads, what a wonderful, mind-bending joy that is, isn't it? Amen. Yeah. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. If you are an older man, you will dream dreams, which has got nothing to do with how much cheese and wine you had the night before. Father's Day for me, my dad is an old man. I would say that to his face. My kids are young. So here's me. I don't know, middle-aged man with an older man as my dad and kids of my own. And yet God says, you're going to dream dreams. There's going to be dreams. There's going to be visions. There's going to be prophecy. God is on the move. So if you are a younger man, you're going to see visions. That might not be so much of Harry Kane nodding in the winner in the World Cup final. It might. But God's got visions for you. If you're an older man, there are dreams for you. God has got dreams for you. Maybe not some of the things that our kind of flights of fancy might take us to, but visions of rivers in the desert. Isaiah 35, verses 5 to 7, the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And then the lame will leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and there will be streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool and the thirst ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. Dads, be excited, be ready, be prepared, be expectant. Because there's going to be dreams and visions and prophecy. The eyes of the blind are going to be opened. The deaf will hear. The lame will leap, for God is on the move. God is moving. The greatest gift that you can give your children is to point them to Jesus. The greatest gift you can give your kids is to point them to Jesus. Joshua, turning 18, there are a few in the room, or a few have got kids around that age group, where they are the generation where the government gave you £250, do you remember? To start a child trust fund. And so when they get 18, the parents lose all control of it, the kids get it, all right? That's a gift to the kids, isn't it? It's a gift to them, but yet that's not the greatest gift that a parent can give a child. The greatest gift that a parent can give a child is to point them to Jesus, is to point them to the Saviour of the world, and then root them deeply in the local church. To root your kids deeply in the local church. I said a few weeks ago, I'm not a gardener. Jane is the gardener. But if she says, dig there, I can dig it. If she says, put that, you know, dig a hole and put that plant in it and water it, I can do that. And so we've planted some pots of, but are now all blooming in flower at our front door. And they look lovely. Because they went in the ground, the compost went all around and they got watered in. And so now we're reaping the benefit of that because they look lovely at our front door. What's the greatest gift that you can do for your children is to point them to Jesus and then root them deeply into the local church. The church is not an add-on. It's not an optional thing, but root them into the local church. Why? Because it's the means by which God has planned for his people to grow. Old men are going to dream dreams. There's going to be visions. There's going to be prophecy. Where are they going to be seen? In the body of the local church. Why? Because the love of God is most manifest in us when we are together in the body of Christ, when we are in the church. It's not an optional add-on. It's the means by which we see these things and experience things that God has preordained that we're going to have for the growth of the kingdom, for the units, for the building up of the body, for the growth of the local church. So where do you experience the goodness that God has for you as an individual in the local church? And so what is the greatest gift that you can give to your children? Point them to Jesus and root them deeply in the local church. This is not just for families, is it? It's for all of us. Don't trade church lightly. None of us are going to be in church for 52 weeks of the year. And it's not for me to tell anybody what a valid reason is to not be in church. Okay? I can't tell you that for you. I can't tell you that for your kids. That's up to you to decide that for yourself. But it is for me to tell you that we are in exciting times. Why are we in exciting times? Because there's going to be dreams and visions and prophecy. There's going to be water flowing in the desert. We are in exciting times. We wouldn't want to miss that, would we? None of us are going to want to miss that. And so therefore, this might sound challenging, and to a point that it is, but it's only challenging because there's a reward there for us, which is beautiful and wonderful. Again, to make a World Cup analogy, because we can't avoid it right now, can we? The team that wins the World Cup with a team that has put maximum effort into planning and preparation as a team, as individuals, to get to that point where they can win. If we want to be a church, the body of Christ, the part of the kingdom of God, that where God draws delight in us and we see dreams and visions and wonders and prophecy, that's going to require something of us, isn't it? And so if that feels like a challenge, well, maybe that challenge is necessary because God has got so much more for us, so much more. Because I think we're in exciting times, times that we're not going to want to miss. Hebrews tells us to not neglect a habit. You missing church impacts everyone. It impacts you and dads. It impacts your family. And it impacts the whole church. The impact is always negative. You wouldn't dream of your kids not going to school. So tomorrow morning, doesn't matter how warm it is, how hot it is, how comfortable they might be in their uniform, they're going to school. They're going to school. And when your kids go to school, you want them in a settled class. You want them with a good and consistent teacher. And you want them with a good group of friends. For that is the environment where they are going to learn. The local church is all of those things and a whole lot more when it comes to discipleship and spiritual formation of not just of you, but of your children. And so dads, again, in the room, do all you can to be in church, to be an example to your children, to be here with your kids. And to the everybody else, the point is the same, isn't it? The point is the same. It's how we grow. It's how the family grows. If I ran a restaurant, I'd want you all to come. It's supposed to keep my tills ringing, keep me in a job and money in my pocket. But I don't run a restaurant. I pastor a church. I pastor this church, your church. I pastor you. And I want you to come to church. I want you to bring your families to church. Not so as it keeps me in a job, but because the local church is the means by which God has set us up to grow and to experience the fullness of God, which is dreams and visions and prophecy and miracles and wonders and signs on the earth, where the blind will see and the deaf will gain their hearing, where the streams flow in the desert. Yeah, that's why. That's why. It's not to be a consumer of activities of the church. Don't just turn up anywhere that calls itself a church without making roots in that place, deep with service and relationship with other people, because that is what we are called to do. God wants us as a family, as a body together, interdependent and interconnected with each other. Dads, set your stall out for this. Set your stall out for that. This is what you should want for your family. Why? Because you want your sons and your daughters to prophesy, don't you? You want them to be messengers of God. And this is for all of us again, isn't it? Be an example. Be the example. Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, grandparents, everyone, be an example to follow. Be an example to follow. It's where the action happens. It's where God is. It's where the love of God is most complete. It's where the Spirit moves and we see the miraculous here on earth. If you can give me a moment of indulgence. My eldest, Josh, has left school. I guess there are others in the room. Malachi and Ben and Tom. It's been the summer. It's the summer to enjoy before responsibility starts, isn't it? But he's left school. And I am proud of him. Proud that he's got a job for September, doing exactly what he wants to do. For a company who it seems we're going to look after him. And I am proud of him. But I'm prouder still of the young man he's becoming. The sincere faith that he has. The desire that he has to see his mates come to know Jesus. To see the youth profess Jesus and to grow in their faith. To read the word and to pray. His willingness to serve in the church and commitment to be present. Dads, if you feel the same about your kids, make sure you tell them. Because I'm not making comparisons here, but I'm just going to go, being a pastor's kid can be hard. And so perhaps I'm using the same mic by which I tell stories about him to tell you today how proud I am of him, but also to give a perspective over what's important. Because Jesus did want Peter to walk on the water. He does want our kids to have visions for the kingdom. He does want our kids to be prophets and evangelists, to be teachers and servants and pastors and leaders in the church. He does want that for them. So your kids are precious. They're precious. And the Lord has things, big things, that he wants them to see and to be a part of, to lead in. I want my kids to have greater and deeper encounters with God than I have. I want to see revival in this land. I want my kids to see revival. I want them to play a part in it. And I want that for your kids too. What Joel prophesied before Jesus was born and what Peter echoes in Acts, I believe is happening now, and it is going to happen all the more. Because it talks about the last days. And lots of people speculate as to what that might mean. But I believe we're in the last days now. We've got a group of year six or fourth year juniors, for those in old money, all right? We've got a group of year six boys at Monday Club. And they're in their last days at primary school. They're not quite in their last week, but they're in their last days. They've done their tests. They've done the residential. They're practicing for their leavers play. They're off to visit their high school in a couple of weeks' time. They are in their last days. We are in the last days of the world as prophesied and proclaimed. Why? Because Christ has been, he has died and risen again. He's ascended to heaven and one day he's coming back. But at the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is what happened in Acts 2, at the coming of the Holy Spirit, we're reminded through Peter in Acts of the old prophecy that in the last days. This is not a reminder to keep waiting for what is going to happen. This is not a pointer for what is still not to come. This is not a prophecy in Acts, but a declaration of the time that we are in. It is going to be happening now. This happens now. We are in the days before Christ returns. We are in the last days. So therefore, what is being described is for now and for the future until the return of the Lord Jesus. And so, dads, what are your dreams? What are your dreams? What are you dreaming about for your life, for your family? What are you dreaming about for your kids? What are your visions? What are your visions? What are you hearing and seeing in your children? My kids took great amusement in laughing at me this week because I did some technology-wise and I made a complete mistake. They thought it was hilarious. I've reached that point. My kids know more than me about technology. But what are you seeing and hearing in your children? Where are you seeing God move? Because if we're in the last days, it means that someday that Jesus will return and this will be no more, for we will be with him and it will be wonderful. But right now, God wants to use our children to be messengers to the world. He wants them to declare his coming. He wants them to declare his goodness. He wants them to declare the need to repent of sins and come back to Christ. He wants them to prophesy. He wants them to be evangelists and miracle leaders. And you know, he wants them to be encouragers and people that serve his kingdom in the here and now. And all men will dream dreams and there'll be visions. And so what are your dreams? What are your visions? What are you seeing? For this is now, isn't it? In these days, in these last days, there'll be dreams and visions and prophecy. There'll be wonders on the earth. Wonders on the earth. Souls will be saved. There'll be rivers flowing in the desert. Life will spring up where it had died. The blind will see and the deaf will hear. I said I didn't want to give dads a kicking, and I don't. But rather I want to invite you to be excited by all that God wants to do. Be excited by all that God is inviting you into. Be excited by all that God wants to do in you and through your children. And for maybe some in your grandchildren. And so point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus as best as you possibly can. As best as you possibly can. A lot of time being a parent is being an example, isn't it? Being an example. You know, dads, you're an example to your son as to how they're going to treat maybe one day their future wife by how you treat their mum. And vice versa. You're an example to them about how to manage their money and keep a house and get a balance of time. You teach them how to do that by living that example in front of them, don't you? You teach them about what's important. You teach them about kindness to their neighbour, kindness to others. But you teach them what it looks like by showing them what it looks like. And so point them to Jesus. Do it in the same way. Do it in the same way, be an example in front of them of what it looks like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. point them to Jesus as best as you possibly can, anchor them in the local church where gifts can be seen and encouraged and used for us to build up, building up both them and all of us. There's a lot of Christians playing at the World Cup this year, and I don't know whether you noticed a game between Germany and Curacao, I don't know how you say that, last week. And at the end of the game, there were players from both teams in a huddle on the pitch praying together. There's something wonderful about it, isn't it? Something extraordinary. Lots of players this year are declaring love for Jesus and walking out onto the pitch in prayers. It's been good to hear many of the English players talk about their love for Jesus, talk about their relationship with God meaning more to them than the football match that they're playing. Why are they saying that? Because it's true. It's true. I'd rather have Jesus. So make priorities for your kids. Don't just make good priorities for your kids, but make the best priorities for you. Make the best priorities for them. For in the end, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing. Nothing will come anywhere even remotely close. For there'll be rivers in the desert, dreams and visions in the hearts and minds of men, miracles and wonders seen on the earth. The blind will see, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. Amen. I want in on all of that. I wouldn't want to miss that. I'd hate to be at home and I'm using a flippant example, but I'd hate to be at home on a Sunday afternoon and see a WhatsApp message to say, "Oh, church was amazing this morning, because there were dreams and visions in the hearts of men and miracles and wonders on the earth, and the blind came to get their sight and the deaf could hear." And I'm thinking, "Oh, I missed that watching a football game." Because what matters and what really matters, they're not the same, are they? They're not the same. I want in on all of that. On all of that. I want you to be in on all of that. But isn't it true that the reality of that glorious promise is that it also has a flip side? Because the blind will see, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there's a flip side to that. Because everyone who doesn't call on the name of the Lord won't be saved. Everyone who doesn't call on the name of the Lord, they won't be saved. And so we need to see that we are in the last days. And I think that there's tremendous encouragement for us to be in the last days. For God is on the move. The Spirit has come, and he wants to work in us and through us, that we may see and experience and be a part of many great things. Do you remember a few weeks ago we talked about feeding the 5,000 and being in on that, being invited in to the miraculous? We want to be in on all of those experiences. But yet then the opposite is true. The opposite is true for those that don't call on the name of the Lord won't be saved. We're in the last days, and so time is of the essence. The time is now. The time is now. And so dads in the room, your kids, time is the now. If there are granddads in the room, the time is now. For those that have maybe got brothers or sisters, maybe those that have wandered away or never come to the point of acknowledging Jesus, time is now. Maybe for some of you, it's your parents. Time is now. Time is now. This is everyone, isn't it? This is everyone for everyone, a message for everyone, an importance for everyone. The bell is ringing. We're in the last days. Those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. What a glorious, glorious, wonderful promise. But the opposite is true. Those that don't call on the name of the Lord, they won't be saved. And we like to dwell with the former and ignore the latter. And in one sense, that's understandable. But we can't ignore the latter. If we ignore the latter, it never quickens the heart for the former. We've got to be out there telling people about Jesus. For this is it. Nothing else matters. Nothing else will last. Nothing else is going to last. Nothing. A few months ago, some of you might remember Andy Worthington was here. He came to a prayer meeting, I think it was back in February. And he comes from Open Doors. They support the persecuted church. And I remember him talking about Christian parents in North Korea. And he was telling us that it's illegal to follow Christ in North Korea. It's illegal to own a Bible in North Korea. And so one thing that the state do in order to catch Christians out with families is that they go through the children. And so when the children go to school, the teachers say to the children, look, there is a secret game of hide and seek, which your parents have set up. And they've told us, your teachers, about it. And so what you need to do is you need to go home and in secret, without telling your mum and dad that you know the game is on, go and search the house and look for a black book. And if you find the black book, don't tell your parents, but rather bring it to school and there will be a prize. There'll be a reward. So kids would go home and they would search the house. They'd find the Bible and take it to school. The prize, the surprise, the reward was that their parents would be arrested and either executed or put in a work camp as a slave. Parents in North Korea are faced with a choice. Do they have a Bible in the house? Do they tell their kids about Jesus? Because they desperately want their kids to be saved. They desperately want their kids to know Jesus. But if they do that, they risk arrest. If their children don't understand the subplot of the nation, what would you do? What would you do? What a choice. What a choice. Thankfully, in this country, dads, mums, grandparents, all of us, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, we don't have to make that choice. We don't have that restriction. So tell your kids about Jesus. Encourage them in their faith. Make church a priority. Encourage them to seek the Spirit and encourage their godly dreams. To all the non-dads in the room, Joel chapter 2, verse 29, basically says, everyone, men and women, everyone. The Spirit is going to be poured out. It's going to be poured out. We can't stop this, even if we would want to. And so let's get on board and fan the flame of what God is already doing in our land, what God desires to do in our hearts and in our churches. The Spirit is on the move. He has been poured out on men and women. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. There will be dreams and visions. The blind will be given sight. The deaf will hear. There'll be miracles on earth and there'll be streams flowing in the desert. Such will be the move of God in our land. Let's get on board with what God is doing. Let's point everyone we know to Jesus. And let's see one another anchored, rooted deeply in the local church. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for Jesus that he came and lived and died and rose again so that prophecies like this could be fulfilled. We thank you for Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was indeed poured out on your people and that there was a gift of tongues and prophecy and words of knowledge and healing and miracles seen on the earth. And the Acts of the Apostles unfolds and reveals those miracles performed by the hands of ordinary men and women, but under the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we are in the last days. There is going to be a day where Christ will return. There is going to be a day where all of this will be gone and nothing else will matter. Only our position as either children of God or as not. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved and anyone who doesn't won't be. And so, Lord, I pray that we would see the urgency of that, not just in our own lives, but for our children, for the people in our families, for in our community, that we'd be pointing every single person that we see to Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement here to fathers on Father's Day. Your children, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Encouragement to the men in the room. There will be dreams and there will be visions. Encouragement to all of us. The Spirit will be poured out on men and women. Father, I thank you for your promise to us. I thank you that we have seen evidence of that in part. Lord, I pray that we would see more of that so that the lost may see you and be saved. Lord, I pray for us as a local church that we will be a church that encourages one another, that we'll be a church that supports each other, that we'll be a church that fans the flame of the Spirit at work, that we'll be a church that looks and pays attention to what you are doing and saying to your people, whether they be young or old, whether they be sons or daughters. Father, I pray that we will be a church that forsakes good things for the best things, and that we would want to be deeply rooted in the local church, anchored in by your Spirit, connected deeply with one another, that we would experience the fullness of the love of God in us as a local church, in your body. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he has come to save us. I thank you for your Spirit that came to help us and empower us and to remind us of our salvation in you. Lord, I pray that we would see that and know that and experience that deeply in our own lives, and that we would see that and glorify you for that as we see that in the lives of those around about us. And that we would honor you and praise you. Lord, on Father's Day, I pray for the fathers in the room. I know as a father, and I know as being a son, that being a dad is wonderful, but it can be hard. And so, Lord, I pray for the dads in the room that you would give them encouragement and courage and confidence and boldness, that you'd sit with them and bless them and strengthen them for the task. And they would point those under their care to you. And they would know the joy of seeing their children and their grandchildren come to know you as their own personal, wonderful Saviour. And they would delight in you and delight in seeing you at work in their lives. Father, I thank you for Jesus, who makes all of this possible. Amen. Amen. We're going to take communion in a moment, and we're going to worship together too. And we take communion because Jesus asked us to. But we take communion because it's a physical sign of the promise, isn't it? That we are united together in and through the person of the Lord Jesus. And so when Jesus said, look, here is the bread, it's a picture of my body. Here is this wine, a picture of my blood that was shed for you. And we share it together. You could go home this afternoon and drink wine and eat bread, and you may enjoy that, but it wouldn't be a communion because it's not together. And we do this together as a reminder of the fact that God has saved us to be a family where we encourage one another and cheer one another on in the pursuit of the one that unites us, in pursuit of Jesus. And so I'm going to pray and give thanks for this bread and wine. We're going to pass it around. And if you know that Jesus is your Saviour, your walk might be a limp, but you know that he's your Saviour, then take and eat and give thanks and rejoice in Jesus. If it lands in front of you and you think, well, I know about Jesus, and I think he might even be real, but I don't yet know him as my Saviour, then that's okay. Just pass it to the person next to you. Maybe go and talk to somebody about what that means, so that maybe next time you go, yeah, he's my Lord and he's my Saviour, and you live in the goodness of that and can join us in this wonderful feast. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for this communion feast. I thank you that Jesus instigated it because he knows what we're like. And he met with the disciples and he gave them a picture, a symbol in bread of his body that was given for us, his blood that was shed for us. And he said, whenever you can, just do this, eat this, drink this, and remember me, your Lord, your friend, your Saviour, your brother. And we can give thanks that together we are the children of God, together with each other and together with Jesus, because of his sacrifice, with the children of God, loved by you, our wonderful Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, I thank you for this picture. I thank you for this feast that we get to take, and we get to take it together. And Lord, perhaps this morning, as we think about those that are sat to the left and the right of us, in front of us and behind us, we can give thanks for them. And we can set our stall out to live a life that encourages them and is an example before them. And a heart that says, we want to listen to them because they've got dreams and visions and prophecy from you to encourage us and excite us in all that you are and all that you have for us. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.